Today, we're talking about the kingdom, continuing on in the series. Anybody who was here last week with Dr. Ryan Peterson, he filled in for us and did a great job, just a great message about the kingdom that God brings to you by grace. Today, we're talking about the kingdom that God brings to you through faith. So by grace, through faith. And to do that, I wanted to, especially as Halloween is in two more days, I thought we'd talk about curses to start out with. Do you ever feel like you're cursed? Like things are just destined to go wrong for you in a certain period of your life? Maybe you lived through that and now you're out of it. Maybe you're in it now. Maybe that's something you fear about what may lay ahead. But have you ever felt or do you feel cursed? So as you think about that, let's pray. All right. Jesus, thank you for meeting us here in this moment. Thank you for your word that tells us about faith and your kingdom, who you are and who we are in you and before you. Lord, touch our hearts now. Help our hearts and minds to listen and to turn over this word from you, that we may live lives freed from sin following you. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, so do you feel or have you ever felt cursed? Take a minute and just share yes or no. If no, like why? If yes, maybe what happened where you felt that? So just share with somebody next to you, do you feel cursed, yes or no? So a couple seconds. All right. Does anybody know the history behind why we carve scary faces into pumpkins, why we have scary to very horror-based Halloween decorations? Like, what is the premise behind doing all of that, other than, like, celebrating the holiday? Like, what is the point of that? It all came from the idea of scaring away evil spirits. Now, what's curious about this is that sometimes we use what we would figure as evil spirits to scare away evil spirits, at least in the vein of Halloween. And the word Halloween, some of you may know this already, but it comes from Hallow Evening, the eve before All Saints Day. So November 1st has been typically celebrated as All Saints Day again, something we're celebrating next Sunday, those who have died in faith, those who are holy in Christ, they're saints. And the night before is sometimes seen as kind of that night where evil spirits break out and kind of do mischief or harm. And to ward them off, you carve scary faces into pumpkins. Like, I don't know how these things get started. I just know that they do. And human beings, go figure. So what do you do now to ward off curses? What do you do now when you get the sense like bad things are happening in your life or around you? What do you do? Do you, you know, wear garlic around your neck? Sorry. Or do you put scary things to ward off evil spirits around your living space or your home or your apartment? Or do you do a different thing? Abraham, that Paul mentioned in our text in Galatians. So Paul wrote wrote the letter of what we read a part of. So we read part of Galatians, right? We read part of chapter 3. He wrote the whole letter to this church in Galatia, explaining to them, kind of calling them back from ways they had kind of wandered away. And we'll unpack that a little bit more. But he referenced a guy named Abraham. And not everybody these days knows who Abraham is, and that's all right. Abraham, real quick synopsis. He was first, his first name was originally Abram, and the father of people. And Abram was worshiping idols. Like he was, that's what his family did. It's what he grew up doing. And it was while Abram was an idol worshiper, that's when God spoke to him, right? God didn't wait for him to get his life right. God didn't wait for him to choose to follow him. Yahweh, God, chose Abram. and made himself known to him. And Abraham believed that. And God said, all right, I want you to go somewhere you've never seen before, this land called Canaan. And Abram's like, okay. And so he went with everything that he had. And God blessed him there. And Abram was not perfect. He tried to pretend that his wife was his sister twice to avoid getting murdered. And then when God promised he would have a son in very old age, he and his wife kind of struggled to believe that right away. So he was by no means a perfect person, but when God made him promises, he believed them. And that's why Paul wrote what he wrote. He was quoting the writer in Genesis, Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, here's why all that's important. Because when God brings the kingdom of faith, like he brought to Abraham, right? Let's touch back on what a kingdom is, right? A kingdom is the land and the space and the power, and it's like the authority of the king is in the air. It governs that whole place. Now, not everybody abides by it, but it's there. And God brings his kingdom, his land, his power, his authority to you through faith, by grace, through faith. And that's what Paul is unpacking today. That's how we're going to spend our time. And so there are three things I want you to walk away with today from this. We're going to explore three questions. One, what is faith? Right? What is faith? And then, how do I get faith? And then, how does God's kingdom come through faith? So what is faith? How do I get faith? And how does God's kingdom come through faith? All right. So to start off with, let's go to, I encourage you to open your Bible, open an app. You can look back on the sheet there. Go to verses 5 and 6 in Galatians. And as we look through that, think about what is faith. So in these first two verses, Paul says, does he who supply the Spirit to you work miracles among you, do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Right? By works of the law or by faith. Which is it? Now, why is Paul asking this question? He's asking this question because he had gone, the faith, the capital S faith, faith in Jesus, had been made known to these people in Galatia. And then some other teachers had come in and said, well, it's not just Jesus. Like, if you believe in Jesus, you have to do these things or you won't get all the things God is going to give you, right? So they're making the case that it's never just Jesus. It's Jesus and, right? They're saying it's never just faith. You always have to add something to your faith in order to really believe in Jesus, to really be worthy of following God. And Paul is saying, bros and sisters, that's not how it is. Like, that's not how you came to faith. That's not how this works, right? And so he reminds them, he kind of goes back, all right, so all these things God is doing in your midst, the miracles and the spirit of faith that he has given you, his very Holy Spirit, did God do that by the law, by your obedience, by you doing it all right? Or did he do it by faith in your hearing, right? And so that's what he's calling their mind back to. So let's unpack again. What is faith? Faith is described in another book of the Bible called Hebrews in the 11th chapter of that book, verse 1. It says, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Now, what is that like? It's like a couple of, we had our kind of first student event yesterday. We were axe throwing at Axe Ventura downtown here. It was awesome. Instagram pics coming soon on Emmaus, on our Instagram account. Yes, we have one. And all three of us just, we were able to zero it in and got multiple bullseyes. It was awesome. It was a great time. And then we started walking back, and we passed this sign outside a yoga studio that said, faith is moving towards the staircase even when you can't see it, right? Believing it's there even if you don't think it's there. That's kind of a weak analogy, but it nods toward something that's true, right? Maybe a little more practical, maybe a little bit bigger, is leaving your church or leaving where you were before and moving to Emmaus, right? Recognizing the good things God is doing in other churches, but recognizing an opportunity for God to start a new church to reach new people. And faith is, even though you don't know what that is all going to look like, even though you don't know how exactly that is all going to work, you believe in the one who is sending you. And so you go. And that's why many of you are here this morning. And I thank you for your partnership in the gospel. Faith is believing in something, being sure of what you hope for. We hope that new people will be reached. And in fact, new people are being reached by the word of God because of this place. And that hope that we had, God is bringing about in our midst in real time. And that's a beautiful thing. Sure of what you hope for, certain of what you do not see. Certain of what you do not see. My mind, so I'm 40-something, my mind goes back to arguably the greatest of the Indiana Jones trilogies, Indiana Jones movies, where he has to cross this chasm. He cannot see a way forward. He has to take this leap of faith. And he has to take a step out into, it looks like there's nothing there, right? But he has to take a step forward. Even though it appears like there's nothing there, he has to trust or experiment and risk his life that something is there or it's not. And he puts his foot down, even though he can't see it, he puts his foot down on this narrow, solid bridge, and he sees the way across after he takes a leap of faith. So certain of what you hope for, sure of what you hope for, certain of what you do not see. So there will be going to be things in this life and in this world that God is calling you to do, places he's calling you to go, where it is not going to make sense, and you will not have all of the answers. And yet, God promises he is with you, and he calls you to move forward all the same, to trust him by faith. Now, when it talks about hope, what gives you hope in this world? If we're sure of what we hope for, what are some things you hope for? What are some things that you hope will happen? You hope your kids, if you're a parent, maybe you hope your kids will grow up in the faith. If you're a parent of a young child, maybe you hope at some point you will be able to sit through a gathering without having to step out. And at some point you will. I promise. It happens. It's real. I've seen it. If you're someone who's single, you hope that maybe you will find contentment in this single life. Or if you're somebody who's single and you're hoping for companionship, you hope that you meet that companion, that partner you've been looking and waiting for. Things that we hope for. But there's another powerful question along the lines of this. Of like, so what gives you hope? What steals your hope? What steals your hope? When those hopes go unanswered. Right? And that's the difference between the hope we have in Christ versus wishes we have, right? I hope the Lions go all the way. I hope Michigan has a really great season, like they're on track to. We'll see what happens. Ohio State's coming up. I don't know. Right? But the hope that the writer in Hebrews is talking about and how that relates to the faith that Paul is talking about, these are not just wishes we throw out into the air. These are prayers. These are desires. This is a sure and certain hope that we place our trust in the God who hears our prayers, the God who works faith in our midst, the God that first brought us that faith in Jesus. And what steals our hope is those things going unanswered other hurts that we encounter in this world, stress, anxiety, ignorance, fear, guilt, shame. What restores hopes that have been dashed? What restores hopes that have been dashed? Faith. Faith brings clarity to things seen and unseen. And that's what faith is. Faith is something that God uses to bring clarity to things seen and unseen. The hurts and hardships in the world that are palpable, and the hope and the love that you trust is there, but sometimes it's really hard to see. And hope for a future. But faith is what brings clarity to things seen and unseen. This is what the Galatians have experienced, and then got distracted and forgot, right? They had other voices in their midst pointing them to something else. We have other voices in our lives, in our world, in podcasts, in our cars, in our homes, other voices that are pointing us to anything else other than Christ. Voices even in from our own sinful hearts that point us to something other than Jesus. And this is why we need to be certain of what we do not see. Right? Certain, that challenge to believe in the Word of God, the promise of God, the future God is bringing to you through faith. Because there are going to be a lot of other things that say, see, God's not showing up. See, God isn't answering your prayer. See, God isn't real. And you are called to believe in the one God has sent, Jesus, who's a real man, who really lived, who really died, who really rose again for you. And that is all you need. Faith in Jesus is all you ever need. That's all the Galatians need. And that's what Paul is reminding them of. Faith brings clarity to things seen and unseen. And so this is the challenge. Believe in God revealed in Christ or something else or anything else. Right? That's the challenge. So how do we get faith to believe in Jesus alone? How does that work? And to do this, we look in Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 and following. Faith is something that comes from God, right? It's a gift of God. If you've been with us for a little while, we touched on this during the summer in Ephesians chapter 2. Faith is a gift of God, right? And a gift is something that comes to you, right? Sometimes a gift can be out of the blue, completely unexpected. Sometimes a gift comes to you in a rhythmic way, like on a rhythm, on a birthday or at a holiday time. Like faith, there's a rhythm to gifts. And God in his gifts, he brings us gifts every week. Something to encourage your faith, something to challenge your faith, something to grow your faith. Sometimes it starts with that gift of faith, that initial gift of faith. God gives you a gift that begins your faith. And that is what faith is. It is a gift, right? So this clarity for things seen and unseen is a gift of God. It's a work of the Spirit. And this is what Abraham experienced in Galatians chapter 3, right? Paul's touching on that in verses 7 and following. So if you turn your attention back to that now, if you don't mind. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham, right? And so why would Paul bring up Abraham to the Galatians? It seems kind of like out of left field to us. But for Jewish people living in Galatia, makes total sense. Right, so Paul is referencing somebody they know from their tradition, stories they grew up with about Abraham and the man he was and how he followed God and how he believed in God and what God gave him because of the faith that he gave him. And so it's like this. Luther, right, father of the Reformation, the center that God used to correct some things that were wrong in his church, in God's church, Luther wrote this when talking about how the Spirit works and including how we get faith, right? He starts out by saying this, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength, right? Nothing I can think of on my own, nothing I can do in my own power. I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come, I can't even come to him, right? Why? Because I'm dead in faith, right? Like the Galatians were, like Paul was before Jesus brought him to faith. I cannot believe by my own reason or strength in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by what? The gospel. And what is the gospel? It's that word about Jesus. That word about Jesus. And what we know as the gospel specifically is that Jesus came, true God and true man, 100% of both. And he really lived, he really died for you, for your sins, so that everything you've done wrong, all the guilt and shame that you feel over the things that you've done in your past and the things that make you anxious, the things that make you afraid, Jesus takes all of that on himself and calls it his, and he frees you from it. That's what his death does. And his resurrection means that you too will rise. Right? That's what faith does. That's the gift God brings to you through faith. Right? He's called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. God makes you holy now, right? He doesn't wait till you die. So we learn to refer to ourselves as sinners, right? Because we are people who sin, and we're people that God has already, he already calls you holy. So we're sinners and saints at the same time. And that's what Abraham experienced. If we jump down a little bit further in the reading, Abraham gets the gospel, right? God is calling Abraham by the gospel articulated this way, in you shall all of the nations be blessed. That's verse 8, right? In you shall all the nations be blessed. That's God's promise to Abraham, but that promise that points to Jesus and specifically what he did for us in his life, death, and his resurrection. Faith comes from God. And so in a world that's broken, in a world where it's easy to see curses, maybe even to feel or experience curses, faith is a gift that comes to you from God. And it goes deeper than any curse could ever go. And it's more powerful than anything we can put on our front porch. But the only thing that scares away evil spirits is the name of Jesus, because they know the name of Jesus, and it is powerful. It is powerful for you because it gives you life, and it's power that defeats evil spirits, because God's power is for you and against them. And this is what Abraham needed. This is what Abraham needed to know, to go, to leave the land he knew and the family he knew, and to go somewhere completely different, following the call that God gave him. This is how Abraham received everything God promised, even though he died long before much of that came to fulfillment. Right? Abraham only saw Isaac that we know of. Did he see Jacob and Esau? He definitely did not see the sons of Israel. It became the 12 tribes of Israel. He never saw that in his lifetime, but he saw it through faith. Why? Because he believed God's promise to him. So when Jesus calls you, believe in me. Believe what I've done for you in my life. Believe what I did for you on the cross. Believe what I did for you in the resurrection. What is your call? We need something beyond our own power. We need something beyond strength and our own ingenuity to lead us forward. And so that is what God does through faith. That's how you get faith, through his Spirit working that faith in you. Just like it worked in Abraham, just like it worked in his people throughout time, it's working in his people now. And so faith is a gift of God. So how does faith bring the kingdom then, right? Another thing that the longer you find yourself in God's church, you'll hear things like grace alone, which is what we touched on last week. God gives you grace all by itself. God gives you faith alone. You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, right? And so the saying is, God gives you faith alone. He saves you through faith alone, but that faith is never alone, right? Faith is all you need. You don't need anything else. But God gives you stuff on top of that. He gives you grace. He gives you power. He gives you his Spirit. He gives you blessing. He gives you joy and hope and love that endures sin and hardship and long seasons of hardship. God brings you his kingdom. He gives you Jesus now, right? The Jesus we believe in, right? He suffered and died and rose. And 40 days later, he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. That is where Jesus is physically present. And somehow, at the same time, he's also present here now with you. How does that work? I have no idea. But God does. And God has the power to make that happen. So both things can be true at the same time. And so faith alone is how God saves you. He saves you through faith alone, but that faith is never alone. He brings the goods, right? So when Jesus started his ministry, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." Not near like it's almost here, but near like it's right next to you. You could put your finger out and touch it. Now, why did Jesus say that? Because the kingdom of God is Jesus. When you have Jesus, when you are with Jesus, you have everything. You have the kingdom. You have the faith. That is what God gives you. That is how God brings you the kingdom, through faith. Faith receives, right? It holds on to all the stuff that God gives you. Grace, faith, Jesus himself, the Holy Spirit that is alive within you. And you, through faith, God holds on to you, right? God gives you strength to hold on to him and to hold on to the blessings he gives. But it's through that same faith God holds on to you. And so even when you feel like you can't hold on, when you've lost it, when you can't do it anymore, God is holding you. And that's really, really good news. When there are going to be days where it will feel like faith is not enough, where the curses are too great, or life is too great, the worry is too great. And in that moment, the kingdom is yours too. And so it's not how strongly you hold on to God. It is how firmly God always holds on to you. And now what we get to do in this world is give people a glimpse of that. Give people a glimpse of that love. Give people a glimpse of how deeply God cares for you, how deeply he walks with you daily, day in and day out, through struggle and hardship, through joy and success. God goes through all your ups and downs right along with you. One of the reasons we call this church Emmaus is because people in the city walk everywhere, right? But just like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, people miss that Jesus is among them. And so our prayer as this church that is called Emmaus is that we get to be the people God uses to reveal himself to them as we walk along the road. That gift of faith, of God saving people through faith, will come to them through conversation, through maybe events that we do. But it will become through that word of faith that God will speak to them through us. So, through faith, faith holds on to everything God gives. So, to wrap up, to review real quick, if we're going to have that up there. What is faith? Faith brings clarity to things that are seen and unseen. How do I get faith? Faith comes from God. And how does faith bring the kingdom? Faith holds on to everything that God gives, including his kingdom, his power at work in you, and for your neighbor. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word that forms your church and calls us out on when we get it wrong. It reforms us. It reshapes our hearts day by day. Lord, sometimes our hearts, they get so dark and so broken, there's nothing left to work with. We need a new heart. And Lord, you daily bring us new hearts, fresh, filled with your grace, filled with faith to believe in you and your promises and who you are here and now and the future you are leading us towards. Through joy and victory, through failure and heartache, Lord, you lead us through it all. God, teach us to believe in you, to trust you by faith now and moving forward in a way that our neighbors will get curious about it and will ask, and they'll hear you. I pray this in your name. Amen.